to Movie Night with your hosts, Dwayne Perkins and TK Kelly.
Welcome, everyone, to the Movie Night podcast. I am TK Kelly, joined, as always, by my hilarious co-host, Mr. Dwayne Perkins. Each and every week, we watch a movie. We have a special guest who also watches that movie, and they come here to talk to us about that movie.
Indeed, and I will harp on a special guest part this week because this is a special guest. I think we're lucky. We're fortunate to have our friends come in and you know, talk to us for these episodes. This woman is a really good friend of mine. We go way, way, way back. She's a writer, a comedian, a Canadian. We don't hang out that much, but when we do, we always have a blast. And we say, we should do this more often. So I have her here today on the episode, Christina Walkinshaw.
Hi, guys.
I said that right. Walkinshaw. I'm sorry.
Dwayne gives you this beautiful, heartfelt intro and then botches your name. Yes.
Well, I don't say the last name that often.
Yeah, of course.
That happens to me all the time, so don't worry. But what's funny is because this is a movie night podcast, I will say this. Whenever I try to explain how to phonetically say my name, I always say, walk like the action, in like the preposition, Shaw like Shawshank Redemption.
Interesting.
Walk in Shaw.
Very nice.
So I threw out a little movie for the Movie Night podcast.
I like
reference.
I like it. What's nice. Going on? What have you been up to lately?
Nothing. Just doing stand-up. I did some nice fun theaters up in Northern California this weekend, and I did the Crow's Nest. And then we drove home at like from 11 p.m. to 4 a.m. this morning. So if I sound tired, it's because I just woke up. It's 9 p.m.
What theaters did you do?
The Bankhead Theater in Livermore, California.
Nice.
You ever been there?
No.
Oh my God, Livermore is so cute.
When you say, so it was like a tour with you and some other comedians?
Or? It's the best of the San Francisco and the best of Seattle comedy competition.
Oh, nice. And they set that up?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
They're fun shows. It's always fun when you can perform in a theater, especially when you're me and you have no credit, like no big credits.
As opposed to what? Fucking LA bar shows?
It's like, where you want to be.
Yes, it's amazing.
Exactly.
Especially if your act does not require them to be drunk, theater's the best because people are not distracted and not ordering drinks.
I need everybody to be really drunk, guys.
And I love that you drove back. I mean, that's brutal, but I don't know, maybe not in your case, but
that's a brutal one. And I wasn't even driving, but I didn't feel comfortable falling asleep because I'm like,
that's a good passenger.
Right? Because, five-hour drive that late at night, I feel like you need four eyes on the
I have
on the
fallen
road.
Asleep on so many people when they drive, but I've had it happen to me too. Like, I'm good. Like, don't worry about it. If you're with me, you can fall asleep.
Even aside from being a good passenger, you're putting a lot of trust in that person.
Trust the person?
If I fall asleep, it's all on this comic? No, fuck that.
Right,
I'm not putting my life in your hands.
That's why I'm staying awake. I'm not falling asleep.
But the thing is, in accidents, the people that survive are the sleeping people and the drunk people because their bodies are kind of loosey-goosey. So.
It was maybe two drinks in. That's nothing for me. That's brunch.
Well, a little lesson learned. Next time, be drunker and asleep.
But it's also like someone not springing for that one extra night of a hotel. That's what it feels
like.
Unless you had a hotel and still had to bolt.
We had a hotel, and what we did is we napped during the day yesterday. So we checked into the hotel at like 2:30. We slept till 6:30. Then we did the gig. Because my co-pilot, my other comedian friend, had to go and get a flight at like 11 a.m. this morning. So, it was a tight squeeze.
Brutal. So other than that, you could have just played it like an adult, got up at maybe 7 and cruised down or something, right?
What, about 7 a.m.?
Excuse me, what, 7 a.m.?
What's a 7 a.m.?
What I'm saying is you could have slept there. Whatever time you woke up, you could have slept there. So basically...
Well, that's such a comedian's mentality, though, of like, I would much rather drive home in the middle of the night and sleep in than get up at 7 a.m. and drive all the way back.
Oh, yeah, but he would make it for an 11 a.m. flight, right?
Oh, yeah. I was picking an arbitrary time, but just the fact that that person made you guys... I mean, and I did that once for... It was Henry. Can't think of Henry's last name right now, but we were on a Bob and Tom tour.
Was it Henry Phillips?
Yeah, it was Henry Phillips.
Henry
exactly.
Phillips.
And he had to get back. He was filming. He was doing a movie. He was doing his own movie, and it was snowing. Okay, in between two gigs, like Des Moines and somewhere in Illinois, some two places in the Midwest, and we didn't want to. I think we both had plane tickets, but we didn't want to risk our flight being canceled. He just couldn't get stuck, and like we drove through the night through the snow.
Oh man,
it's just like, ugh.
That's part of stand up that a lot of people don't hear about, because right. like not everybody's doing some amazing club or theater every weekend. You're bouncing around, you're doing gigs yeah. wherever you can, and so often it is like driving in the middle of the night or in horrendous weather, or when it's like, well, it's only a 10-hour drive. Like, right, what? Right.
Oh, yeah.
That's fucking crazy. But you just gotta, we're all so thirsty for that stage time.
That's exactly. true. And at least it's California, and you're right, there's no snow. So yeah. that made it a lot.
But like, things out here better. Are farther apart than I ever yeah. realized. Like, coming from the East Coast, cities are so close exactly. together. Yeah. Like, you can bounce from one city to another, and you're really never gonna be like more than a 4-hour trip from city to city. Here, it's like, everything's very far apart. LA and San Francisco aren't bad, but as you start going up, it's like you're getting 8-hour trips, 10-hour right, trips. Right. Ooh.
Oh yeah, that's powerful.
Yeah, it's tough, but like you do, I mean, I don't know. I feel like, at least for me, you completely absorb all that bullshit if the show's good. If it's worth it, you're
so
like,
good.
Yeah, you're like, oh, you don't even care.
Great. That's great.
Yeah, especially that Friday night in Livermore. It was like electric. It was so great. It was really fun.
And Livermore is like north of San Fran, I guess.
Yeah, it's like this small town that's, somewhere kind of around San Jose.
Do you actually know? That's another thing I've noticed as a comic. Like, I've been to so many places that I have no actual idea of where they are. I'm like, I know what state it's in, but I couldn't tell you what part.
Yeah. Seems like I fell asleep on the way to the gig. I don't really know where we were.
Do you still do, you were doing the date, I know this is a long time ago now, the dating thing you were doing?
So was in 2013, Tinder dates, right? I had a very popular blog. I went on 50 First Dates, and this is when Tinder first came out. I didn't even know what it was, to be honest. Right, right. And I had a really good dating blog. And then I transformed that dating blog into a blog where I was trying to convert to polyamory. And then recently, I got tired of putting my life on the internet. So I stopped writing.
What a novel thought.
I stopped telling the world every single thing about me and just decided to live my life.
And now I've just branded myself as a fitness guru on my Instagram stories, when truly I'm definitely not.
Don't. I mean, me and Dwayne just started, like, maybe with the episode before this, doing Instagram stories. Yeah, we're so far behind.
But now I'm very silly online, and I don't want to do anything that's real.
Yeah,
there was too much vulnerability for a long time there. Where it
was like, it like what made you shift? What were like too many people coming at you with craziness or?
Yeah, a little bit. And things actually got, and plus things actually got so complicated and so emotional that I was like, I don't want anybody to know all this stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's a weird line to tread of like, where do you stop telling people everything?
Yeah.
If you want to be known, if you want to be a personality, like that is the nature of it, but also like,
I know, that's the thing.
It's got to be a cutoff.
I think I just wanted my privacy back.
Yeah,
good for you, good for you. And I think the thing too is, I don't know. I think telling someone how you feel about something can be almost as intimate as telling them literally what's happening with you. I think both reflect who you are, you know, so you don't necessarily have to give a person every single detail for them to have a sense of who you are.
Yeah.
And I think online, what I've learned, obviously privacy done, but
that's so honest. Yeah, it's true. Privacy is not a thing. Sorry, guys.
What I think people forget is due process is done too.
Yeah.
And that's scary. So if you are putting yourself out there and you're being open, you're losing your privacy, but also now people can judge without any information.
Sure. Yeah, definitely.
Such a limited window and come to these like crazy conclusions and share what they want with venom and it's vitriol. I've been through these kind of things.
But it's so funny how quickly too that
it goes away
because the internet is such a fucking crazy news cycle.
Yeah.
I don't mean to cut you off, but you were going to say something, but if it goes away, it means it wasn't real. Like if I have a drop down argument, like a drag out argument with you, trust me, 3 years later, I'm not like on TV. I'm not going to be like, what were we even arguing about again? I'm like, no, motherfucker. I remember exactly what happened.
Yeah.
Because if I'm arguing with you, it's that important to me. Yeah. Otherwise, I wouldn't be arguing with you, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So
And I feel like when I started the Tinder blog, it came from like a really honest place. And then I, honestly, people would be like, nobody reads blogs. Blogs are dead. And I was like, great. So I just wrote like nobody was going to read it. And it was easier for me to be honest that way. And I do have a different like outlook on life. I am a very positive person. And I thought that too many people were scared to be single and staying in toxic relationships for the wrong reasons. So I was like, I'm going to show everybody that it's fun to be single. And then, yeah, I don't know. But then so many people started reading it that I started getting nervous. And, you know, all of a sudden my life is on trial. My, you know what I mean? Like everything's on trial all of a sudden. Right. And then, yeah, you're getting a lot of feedback on your life, not even just your jokes as a comedian, but like your actual life.
And,
is on.
And the internet, not known for its positivity.
I know, oh my God.
And, it's a dark, dark place.
And the crazy thing is, not that any amount of money is worth it, but it must be like doubly kind of like what's going on when you give up some of those freedoms, privacy, whatever, and it's not like it's coming with this big paycheck. So you, now, not that like every person on earth knows you like Michael Jackson, but still, like more people know you than you're getting paid to have know you. You know what I mean? It's like all the disadvantages without the advantage.
Yeah, sure. I mean, the whole like influencer culture to me is like that's scary. It's like you aren't getting a ton back from it. Some people are making money, but most are not, or not making a ton. And you are just freeing yourself up to this world of judgment and like crucifixion for the littlest thing. And then a day later, somebody else says or does something else, and you're left behind, and nobody's bothered by your shit anymore. And then a week later, they're pissed off at you again. It's like it's a very odd world to put your life really like
especially
out there.
For a woman, if you don't have a bodyguard with you at all times, you know.
I know, that's the thing with the Tinder blog. I did get offers for like a reality show on a network in Canada, and then I kind of chickened out because I was like, I didn't want to turn my life into a circus.
Yeah,
and then I ended up taking like an option deal for like a scripted show, which was my dream, right? Because then at least I can tell a story and, you know, I could have, it doesn't have to be so personal. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I could make up some stuff. But then, like a lot of stuff on Canadian TV, just never got off the ground. Now here I am in LA, starting all over.
Yeah, but you know what? Reality TV is like, that's a commitment.
I was too scared.
That
I was like,
turns your life into a fucking circus.
I already know I do a lot of dumb stuff. I don't need everybody else witnessing
and
that.
And also, like, the amount that it isn't real and the amount that there are people telling you what to do and say to get people talking. It's
right, it's crazy.
I don't know how people do that to, like, themselves and their families. It's a
lot. I know.
It seems weird because I think when we gigged before, you were either just starting or in the middle of the blog.
Oh, yeah, when we were in Victoria.
Yes,
because I definitely went on a Tinder date on on that weekend.
And that was a great weekend. And I think, I don't know, I don't know, you seemed happy enough then. I would say you probably seem happier now, just if I'm just sort of like, can see your
aura.
It's
true, I am very happy.
And I think I think you were happy then, but I was like, I wonder if she's happy. But now I don't wonder it. So,
there is, and I feel like when I last worked with you in Canada, I definitely been going on a lot of those dates. And you feel bad. And then, you know, you wonder what kind of real experience you're missing out on by kind of documenting every date. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm always secretly a writer on every date and I'm making notes. And, you know, for the most part, guys know that I'm going to write about them. I mean, in the beginning they didn't, but in the beginning I didn't know I was going
to
write about it.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? It was all like, well, maybe I should write about this.
It's a sports analogy. I'm not sure if you're a sports person. I think we talk sports a little bit.
I mean, a little bit. I'm excited for the Raptors right now. Sorry, I know.
My God. This will come out later, but that was the best shot.
Yeah, we're taping this weeks in advance, guys, but we just saw the Kawhi buzzer beater. The only buzzer beater in Game 7 history.
I was in my hotel room. Thank God for that 4-hour nap yesterday afternoon, because when I woke up, that's what was on my TV, and I couldn't believe I got to see that in real time. And now I'm so depressed that when this comes out, that there's going to be some sad ending to this story in the Raptors. Like,
by the time this comes out, Kawhi is going to be a Clipper.
That's so funny.
Although I do like the Clippers too,
that is so funny. But
oh yeah, anyways,
but for me, going on those dates and documenting them, it's like James Harden trying to get fouled on every shot. It's like, you, maybe it's just a fraction of a percentage point, maybe it's a few percentage points, but your likelihood of making the shot is definitely reduced by you trying to get fouled. It's just that, like,
yes,
you're not in the moment, right? You're like trying to manipulate the moment.
You're trying to draw material from it.
And so
it becomes not real.
In those dates, you have to be a little bit detached because you're trying to remember everything and you're trying to, you know,
it's
what
true.
I mean?
Always going to the bathroom, making notes on my phone. Oh, wow. And it was always kind of cute that, like, sometimes the guys would really like their blog and then they like put them on their Facebook walls, even though I'd always have like no pictures, no names, no faces, you know. But yeah, anyway, so maybe for some of them it was actually like good for them, but like, hey, look, I'm actually a nice guy on a date. And then for other people, maybe not so much, but
maybe they learned some lessons.
Yeah,
maybe they did.
And I'm sure, you know, when you were on these dates, you probably thought to yourself, some of the dates were like, this is crazy, this is stupid, or maybe this is love.
Oh Dwayne.
And so you probably weren't shocked at all when you asked me to come on your movie night podcast. Right. And I go, hey, I got a thing for rom-coms, so if you guys want to pick one.
I like it. I feel like we haven't done a rom-com in a little bit. For sure. That is the movie we did for this week. It's from 2011. It's called Crazy Stupid Love, directed by Glenn Ficarra and John Requa, starring Steve Carell, Julianne Moore, Ryan Gosling, and Emma Stone.
What a cast.
Yeah. Good cast. Great cast, really. How do we feel about this movie?
I mean, how come you didn't name drop Josh Groban.
Josh Groban
was in the movie.
He can only go so far down.
He was funny.
Josh Groban, I mean, this was his film debut. I feel like he's now the go-to of like, do you need like a milquetoast boyfriend? Because Josh Groban fucking crushes
Milquetoast boyfriend. Oh my God.
That could be a name of a CD. That's pretty funny.
I think that too. Milquetoast.
How did you feel about this movie? You'd seen it before, right?
You know, it's one of those movies I saw in 2000. Obviously, it came out in 2011. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I saw it in theater. And I don't know if I'm getting old or if I've just fried too many brain cells. But I was like, how do I not remember this movie at all?
No, it's like that. You know, when I was watching, first of all, I really liked it. And when I sent you the information, I said, I think it's available on Netflix because I was in the Bahamas.
Yeah.
And Bahamas Netflix, this is boom, it's on there.
Bahamas Netflix has it? I was pissed. So I was like, I got to rent this fucking movie.
That's why I said, I think. And then I got home and I was like, God damn it. You know what I mean? So I bought it on Amazon.
I bought it on iTunes, but it's okay. I'm gonna drink enough of your little crystal geyser bottles of water to make my $3.99 back.
Money's worth. Right.
Wait. It cost $3.99 on iTunes to buy it?
No, I just rented it.
Yeah. Oh, I was gonna. Okay, you almost gave me an aneurysm.
What did you pay?
No, I bought it for life, forever.
Oh, you bought it for
life?
You can
watch it whenever. Yeah.
Oh, crap.
So it's like $14.
I feel like it's my fault that you bought this movie.
No, I like this movie, so.
But did you buy it knowing that? Like, did you distinctly remember really liking it?
I remember liking it, and I bought it because I'm like, if I watch it once or twice again, it'll be worth it.
I have that same mentality of like, just more than once.
Oh.
Just more than once.
But like, sometimes I do that, and then I watch it once, and I'm like, I am never going to watch this again.
No, I was going to say, even with a movie I like, I don't like to rewatch movies because I'm like, there's too many other movies out there to watch.
I know, but you said, you forget. Like, I was
shocked. This one I for sure forgot.
Yeah, I was shocked at how long it took him to meet Emma Stone.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, I remember, I thought that happened way sooner. I'm like an hour in. I'm like, these two haven't even met yet.
Ooh, Ryan Gosling?
Yeah, Gosling.
Well, they met, but then they haven't started dating.
Yeah, she does go, she disappears for a good chunk of the movie.
This movie, for me, this feels like, and I didn't quite remember it from the first time I watched it, but on second watch, it just reinforced it. I'm like, man, this movie is like really close to being great. And then it kind of falls short for me. You mentioned it when you walked in that it's a rom.
Not so much on the com.
But like,
that's so funny.
It's a rom.
Early on, this movie kind of presents itself as a comedy.
Yeah.
Like, it feels very, it feels honestly a lot like 40-Year-Old Virgin in a different sense of like him getting his life together. And it's very enjoyable and very funny. And then the whole second half is almost not funny at all.
No, it feels like maybe they had to rewrite it so many times to I don't know if you guys have ever written anything and gotten this note before, but they're like, there's not enough not enough conflict, or you have to raise the stakes here. And so I feel like somebody, I think it started off really real, and I love the tone of the movie. The tone is very like Dead to Me, like, and I'm loving Dead to Me right now, but I like that tone.
I heard that's great. I haven't seen it.
I love it. Oh my God. But I feel like this movie, it just got like the plausibility towards the last half. It's like, oh, really, really? And then yeah. I was like, no. There's well, then I started to roll my eyes a little bit. Like, that's too many weird like coincidences coming connected. Back to bite yeah, you in the yeah, ass. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Here is my question for both of you. And I want to start this by saying I'm not a Ryan Gosling hater by any stretch.
I think the Canadian girl.
I think he's fucking great. I do. I love his movies. I love his really early movies, too. I think he was like a really subtle, like great young actor. And he's funny in like The Good Guys or The Nice Guys or whatever it's called. But I kind of found myself wishing the whole time that they cast somebody funnier in his role because he felt too far to the douchebag
yeah,
side funny. Of the spectrum
yeah.
where it was like, I'm not finding anything this guy says funny. Where I think if Ryan Reynolds delivers those exact same lines, another Canadian
Ryan,
or even James Franco delivers those exact same lines, yeah. it might feel a little funnier.
Right.
This guy just feels, it hurts the movie for me that he feels like such a fucking douchebag. And well, I don't quite understand, like, the thin layer of, like,
yeah.
I'm going to fix this guy's entire life because he vaguely reminds me of my dad.
Right.
Which you don't find out till
Tell
way
you,
later.
A lot of far-fetched
so it's like
stuff
the motivation is so yeah. thin and he's such a douche. I'm just like, ugh.
You know, it's interesting. I think you miss, like, when you make a movie, you just don't know what you have until the end, right?
Yeah.
And I think. What if, I don't think maybe I don't know if this is why, but it feels like if what you capture is that he's too good looking to like to play this part in a sense, because he's so good looking that you're like, oh yeah, you do fuck all these girls, mm-hmm. I think they thought, oh, he'll be redeeming. It didn't bother me, but they thought it'll be redeeming because he's helping this guy get himself back
yes,
on track.
And he's going to learn his lesson. But he's
just a little too good looking.
That's a really good point, like, because
it'd be better if he was a guy that wasn't great looking, but just was good with girls. He doesn't need yeah. that game to get laid. He yes. can just show up. And
that's a really laid. Great point that's because that yeah. just made me think of like Wedding Crashers.
Right.
Those characters are redeemable, even though they're total fucking scumbags.
Right.
Because they are just guys who are playing a game and they're immature, but they're Vince Vaughn and Luke Wilson.
Right.
If that's Ryan Gosling, you're like, you're a monster, sir. Right. You are a sociopath, just mowing down chicks at just an astronomical rate at the same bar every night. Like, you're kind of a loser.
I was going to say, who goes to the same bar every night? That was another
also, where
part
is
of
this
movie?
Bar that is just a mecca of the hottest
somewhere in LA.
Solo chicks?
Oh, yeah.
But you know, to me, that was like a very indie movie thing. That this movie shouldn't be excused for. Like, you know, your
yes,
friends make a movie.
Go to different bars.
Like, we got one bar.
You have the yeah. money I mean? For multiple locations.
That's a really good point. Do you guys ever do that, though? Because, like, now that I live in LA, especially, when I'm watching movies like this, I'm always trying to figure out, like, I try to guess what bar is in the movie.
Oh, sometimes.
Do you ever do that?
Absolutely.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
So, like, this bar, I guess that it was The Well. Do you guys know The Well on Argo?
I don't know The Well.
I'm guessing. I didn't look it up,
I've certainly never been to this bar. I will tell you that.
It like, looks familiar.
Yeah, yeah.
I've definitely
been to bars like it. So I just like, mean like this right, this right. mecca of tail.
This is my really lame movie watching game where I'm always trying to like guess that bar. Because yeah, then right. even after I watched that, maybe like I told you I had a big couch potato. I didn't leave my bed.
Bed potato.
I was like watching movies on my laptop, like that kind of slummy, and then I watched Wine Country. And then that bar, I was like, oh, that bar looks like the Fox Fire Room in the Valley. Like,
no, I know that bar. How was Wine
You're
Country?
You're like a savant.
Just as
this.
An aside. Oh, was it not
I don't know. Oh, it was man. A little, it got funny towards the end. Right, I don't right. know. I love all those people in the movie.
Yeah. I was hoping,
but I had already been warned by two other girls that I trust. They're like, oh, I turned it off after 5 or 10 minutes.
Right. I mean, it does read as like it's lady grown-ups.
Where know,
it's
like, these people all wanted
to,
up,
but so no, but I mean, like these ladies all wanted to hang out together, maybe more than they wanted to make a great movie.
I agree with that.
I feel you.
Yeah,
that's, we'll have you back for Wine Country.
But like, and it's not Gosling's fault. He does a great job.
No,
I
no,
think.
he's.
Yeah,
he works.
He does a great job.
It just tonally, it feels like it's setting up as a comedy. Like, right. I mean, Steve Carell, very first scene in the movie, essentially jumps out of a moving car.
Hilarious, yeah.
It's very funny, very silly, and I just wish Steve Carell's counterpart was a little sillier.
But here's
as well.
What I think could, and I really like this movie. I think I realized that
And that's good too. Really, yeah, like I don't want to. It's a good movie.
I just
movie.
Love her little face. You know what I mean? I just love her little face.
I just love her little face. Dwayne just described Emma Stone like a kitten. I just love her little face. I want to squeeze it.
But like, if, and this is something that like, every when you make a movie, you're in a vacuum, you know, and you're doing what you can. But I think if Ryan Gosling's motivation wasn't that Steve Carell reminded him of his dad, if it was simply that he reminded him of himself.
That's what you, I think, know, like, that's what they try to make you think too.
But right. That would be better. Because if Ryan Gosling, even if he's this great looking guy and is like, I was a fat kid.
Yeah, timid
high school,
kid, sure.
And if you see the books he read, then it kind of like you can excuse some of it.
Right.
But like, it just looks like, dude, you're just like, you have a crushing puss, and yeah. It's like...
Well, I think the only...
At like an alarming rate.
Right, right.
I think the only place where the squirminess actually works for the story is... And we're allowed to say spoilers, right?
I'm just sure. Gonna,
okay.
Well, this movie came out. You know,
yeah, I know. 2011.
Get on it. Get on it, people.
So we're going to try to reference Sliding Doors
to
people.
You've made it too far into this episode to not know the movie we're talking about.
Exactly. That's how I feel when I'm trying to explain Sliding Doors to people. I'm like, the movie's from 1998. You had a lot of time.
I love that movie.
I know, me too.
I've never seen it.
Oh, my God. Okay. Yeah, no, I won't. But I feel like the swarminess comes in, it makes sense at the end of the movie because it adds to, you know, Steve Carell's character being irritated with now he's with her daughter.
Yes, right, for so sure.
That he would be mad it's no like, matter what. I mean, this guy, he's seen this guy fuck.
Well, you mean this guy
is always interesting how a scumbag. How a man is, he's so fine different. With being friends with a swarmy guy, but he's not friends with a swarmy guy being around any of the women in his family.
He's taking life lessons from this smug piece of shit. He is living his life according to this guy.
Exactly.
But as soon as he's with his daughter,
as soon as it touches the women in your family, you're
like,
nope.
Dad thing.
Now I don't like you anymore.
And it's so, but that's, I guess I have a big problem with that too, is that it feels like, I found it hard to believe that Steve Carell takes a turn the way he does in that moment, because he set up this mini golf hole in the backyard. He's determined to get his wife back. He seems to be seeing life for what it really is by that point.
Yeah.
And he's also not been in touch with Ryan Gosling's character for weeks until right before then. He talks to him and he tells him, I'm in love with someone.
Right.
I didn't understand. That conflict felt forced to me.
I felt forced to me too.
That
me too.
Felt to me like, have that silly moment of like, what the fuck are you doing here? What are you doing here?
Yeah.
But then have it be like, oh, that's beautiful. You just told me you're in love with this person, and you didn't know it was my daughter when you told me, so it's real.
It's real.
Like, exactly.
But he gets all pissed off. I kind of wanted the movie to end there.
Well, if you cut out the scene of them talking, then it makes up way more sense.
Yes, but they speak right
they
before.
Speak,
and he lets him
like
know,
you said,
I've been out of touch because I'm deeply in love with someone for the first time.
He completely wasn't trying to pull a fast one on you. He admitted he's in love with some girl. You should be like, oh my God, this is great. Like, seriously, if that was me, what were you about to say?
I was going
to
say, wouldn't you be kind of like flattered that like my daughter is the one
turned
to tame the
you
beast?
Around. Yes,
yeah.
My daughter changed your
daughter
shit bag
you.
Mentality.
Yeah.
Like, listen, I'd be like, you know, I'd be like, I love you so much more. You taught me how to crush puss. Then you gave up puss for my daughter. Like, this is amazing.
And you just reinforced that my daughter is such a supremely special person that she's completely turned your life around.
Yeah.
The whole thing, like that scene, the fight, it just felt like they wanted to get to that stupid fight. And the fight didn't work for me either. Why does his friend... The parents of this young girl find an envelope that says Cal on it. Is he the only man in the world named Cal? She couldn't go to school with some kid named Cal.
But it's also clear that she didn't give it to him.
It's such a movie thing. It's such a fucking movie thing where they're like, let's get to this crazy scene where they're all fighting and Kevin Bacon shows up and he's fine. Like, he just walks in the backyard like, oh, you forgot your sweater. Like, what the fuck are we doing?
See, this is the point of the movie where I'm out.
Exactly.
I'm like,
it just feels like it goes off track. And it is... so enjoyable and heartfelt, and despite even my not being like the biggest fan of Ryan Gosling in this role, it still works. The movie still works, but that third act, it just starts to get crazy. Well, and the kid's speech at graduation.
Yeah. I'm tired of movies with a big high school assembly speech. There's always one.
I don't know. I don't know where you guys fall on the spectrum of devotion to what's the other Love Actually.
I mean, I like
was thinking about doing that one.
A lot of people really love that movie so much. And that
is that the one where he wrote a song and that's how he was living his.
There's a high school assembly in that movie
that's
too.
That's about a boy.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that one's cute.
But there, this feels to me like they were trying to emulate that movie. Like they were trying to be. Let's have this super honest story where people cheat and people are shitty and this kid is like super evolved for his. It just felt like they were trying to capitalize on that instead of being their own thing.
You know that scene where all that stuff happens, it didn't bother me only because I just like the people in it so much, but it felt like that scene was if you had a title just that scene, it would go
but let me explain.
Very sitcom, because in those moments,
it was hokey.
Like, if one person says, stop, just stop for a second.
And they do that for a second, don't they? Like, doesn't Julianne Moore like get them all to stop for a quick second and then they just start fighting again? And it's like, oh man.
And he punches, David, what's his name?
Lynn Hagen. Yeah.
He punches David Lynn Hagen. And I think that it's so weird that. That moment doesn't exactly work. You guys are right.
It's not funny.
Yeah, it's not funny.
No, it's not funny.
No, I agree. I'm sorry. But if you don't have them speak, he just told you he's in love with your daughter and you haven't spoken. Like, it all checks out.
Yeah.
And you're mad at him that scene, the next scene. It takes you like
That's a really good point. Why not just lose that? And that's the explanation of not only have you ghosted your friend for several weeks, now you show up with his daughter, then I'm fucking furious.
That's what bothers me too. I'm like, what am I, a numb, vapid person where I would just like have that moment and be like, meh, that's okay. Like, do you know what I mean? I wouldn't freak out the same way he did.
No, not at all. And it's completely unwarranted because he just told him why he hasn't spoken to him. But you're right, Dwayne. If you lose that, I think that scene works a million times better if you lose that.
Yeah.
And it is. It's funny. It's like a crazy over the top scene. I don't remember the guy's name who plays his friend Bernie, but that guy always fucking cracks me up. But like the four of them together in that scene are funny, but the scene just doesn't feel like it makes any sense.
I know.
And then the whole graduation thing, I have a problem with the Marissa Tomei character. Is like,
she's a bit of an overactor there too.
If this movie's a little sillier the whole way through, I'm totally fine with her. I'm okay with her. You put her in the 40-year-old virgin,
right?
She fits. She works.
All right.
But in this movie, she doesn't work, and it doesn't make sense. And there's too much of like that same thing in that parent-teacher scene where it's like, if someone just spoke up and explained, but it's like, wait, how do you know each other? What is this? What is
that? Right, because
she's freaking out, and he's like, she's an alcoholic. I'm like, this, what?
Yeah,
we had sex because you fucked your coworker.
right.
It's totally cool.
But you don't even have to say we had sex. You could just be like, oh, we met at a bar last week.
Yeah,
and we had a date.
John Carroll Lynch is the guy who plays Bernie, that big bald guy. Man, he is always so funny.
I know. I was like, at first, I was like, was that like a bloated David Koechner? Do you know what I mean?
He plays a lot of similar comedic
roles. You
can see
David Koechner playing the same role.
For sure. He's super funny.
If they can't get one, they get the other.
And he's good in dramas, too. He was in The Invitation. You remember that? He was scary as fuck.
But like, again, if you want that moment to be tense, then you could make it simple. Like, they could kiss. Like, if they kiss right beforehand, meaning the wife and Steve Carell, for whatever reason, maybe they...
They were having that moment of like, we're starting to admit we're still in love with each other.
So if they kiss and then she opens the door for the parent-teacher conference, then there's conflict. There's no conflict. They just ramp up this conflict that shouldn't exist in that moment. Because like, I don't even live in the house anymore. And... like, who's this bitch? You came to my apartment. You know I don't live at home,
dude. I mean, I can't even fucking like.
I still love this movie, but you know,
But no, I think my biggest problem with this movie is something that you just touched on, and it's that the entire time we are accepting that his wife fucked another person, but he's wrong. Because he stopped taking her mini golfing. He stopped trying. He started wearing New Balances. He became a fucking dad. It's very like, he gives that, he jumps in on his son's speech at the end. I'm like, if I'm in his shoes, I jump in on that speech too. And I'm like, my kid is right. Love is dead. Like my wife cheated on me after 25 years.
And the thing is,
because I wear the wrong size pants, apparently. Like, it's just so
funny. I'm a 42 and I've been wearing 44.
And I mean, and again, that's totally fine if tonally it remained sillier the whole way, but it just, it gets so dramatic and then so silly and then so dramatic and so silly, and it doesn't, like, to me, the 40-year-old virgin strikes that perfect balance of, like, there's a real kind of tragic story behind that movie. This is a sad guy whose life has kind of gone off track, and his love story with Catherine Keener in that movie, is that's why it works for me, because there's real heart to it.
Yeah.
But him and his wife in this movie, I'm like, you didn't get to see them together really at all. And the first thing you get is like, I want a divorce. I fucked this guy I work with. And as a viewer, I'm like, oh, she's awful. She's terrible. You should be divorced. You should go out there and enjoy your life. Right. But the whole movie is him trying to win her back because she's his soulmate.
And I'm like, but that's
your soulmate fucked Kevin Bacon.
It's so weird. You know, I saw a movie in China once, right? Like, just fucking, it was in Hong Kong. And I went with a friend. It was in Chinese. You know what I mean? It did have some English subtitles, thank God. And it was like, it felt a little like propaganda. And then I just said, no, you know, this is just, whether people are being programmed or not, this is just where they're at. As this is like, their values, the value system of the country, of the people, is seeping through this movie. And as someone who doesn't share these values, it's jumping out at me. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's like getting hit in the face with cold water. This movie, there is a pushing of an agenda a little bit, and I still like the movie, but like you said, like, oh, I get to cheat on you because you stopped getting great haircuts. Like, it's like, and so there is a bit of,
I mean,
like,
he did look like shit, but
he absolutely did. But she could, you know, there's just a bit of like, they wanted us to agree with that shorthand.
Yeah, and you, like, they don't give you enough to agree with that.
He could have been a workaholic. He could have ignored her. They didn't show any of that. All we see is he's a great dad.
Yes, the babysitter just tells us the whole time that he's like the best dad in the world who adores his wife, too.
Yeah, he's just a little schleppy. And it's like, well, you know, that's what happens.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it struggles in those moments. I thought when the Marissa Tomei thing happens, okay, it's funny. But you're like, again, you slept with your coworker, and then, why does he tell on himself? Has he learned anything from Ryan Gosling, or has he learned nothing? He's like, and I slept with 9 women. Like, first of all, you don't even owe her an explanation. You're not together. 9 is a lot. And then she goes, you win. No, he jumped out of a car. He didn't want to sleep with 9 women.
Yeah. Yes.
You know? I still like the movie because I just love the actors and, you know.
Well, I mean, I think it's honest in the sense that, like, people are flawed, and she made a mistake. She wasn't in love with her coworker, you know. She makes that clear throughout the movie. She's like, she was, I think, bored more than anything and made a mistake. But we don't get to see enough of it where I give a shit about her.
Well,
I'm
especially,
like, you're terrible.
Especially once you learn how long they've been together for, right? Yeah. They say that, you know, you kind of discover at the end that they had a kid at 17.
Mm-hmm.
So you know that they obviously weren't done, you know, sowing their wild oats or whatever.
Sure, yeah. They've
when they
only
got
been with each other.
Right.
So they probably are due for, like, I don't know, a later round in life to explore other people. And do you know what I mean? So that is like, I don't know.
It is. It's not like inconceivable how or why she would do it.
Yeah.
But they don't give you enough of it until like later in the movie where you start to find out all these things. And it's like I spend the whole first 3/4 of this movie being like, yeah, man, you should be divorced. She shouldn't have done that. That was really terrible.
Well, I think the movie works, but you know, you're right. It could have gone a deep one level deeper, and it would be like a really great movie.
Either commit more to the comedy, or commit more to the drama.
Right.
And I feel like it just lives in between there. And because of that, there are like scenes that I love.
Yeah,
and I think I laughed out loud at this movie quite a bit, but then there are long stretches where I'm like, fuck am I looking at? Like, why are we supposed to feel bad for her? And also, like, why am I supposed to suddenly be like, well, Ryan Gosling's character has one meaningful conversation with a woman, and now I'm supposed to forget that he's like a maniac and the biggest douchebag on the planet who takes women home to his glass fortress and makes old fashions and plays fucking Dirty Dancing soundtrack. And I'm like, this is insanity.
I mean, that apartment or house or whatever, that is the cliche of like the stud bachelor pad.
Oh yeah. And like, he's also like his explanation of like, you know, my dad, he was great in business, which is why I have all of this, but he was too nice and he was too accommodating to people. I'm like, those two things don't go together. Right. Who is that person? That person doesn't, the person who makes this much money in business is not that guy who gets stepped on.
Well, I think the issue becomes like, one, he teaches Steve Carell's character how to hook up.
Right.
But he could teach him like how to pay attention to detail. Those are two different things, right? Because maybe Cal's character works too hard. Maybe he doesn't stop and enjoy the fruits of life and the fruits of his labor. And that's a richer experience if he was teaching him some of those things along with buying the right shoe size, right, you know, outfits and all of that.
Yeah.
And Ryan Gosling's character, he shouldn't have a problem he shouldn't be trying to save his dad. It's much better if he has an issue with his mom. Because that's what would make him such a like over the top womanizer if he's like,
yeah, and he does, know, touches on that like super
a little
quickly,
bit, but not, like, not enough. Yeah, yeah.
Like he basically says like, my mom stomped the life out of my dad,
right.
But it's so quick, and that's what it, honestly, there's a lot squeezed into this movie. There's which is probably why we're saying like, oh, I wish we could get more of that and more of this,
right,
a little more explanation. But then the movie starts stretching out to be, you know, it's a 2-hour movie as it is,
right?
Yeah. But it's a lot, so you feel like you get these quick explanations that if you might like, if you ducked away to like refill your popcorn or something, You don't know this character's motivation at all, because it's just one line and that's it.
And that's the other thing. I feel like in 2019, you have to put your phone away. You can't have any of those kind of little baby distractions, especially seeing like, oh, what's your mom like? And all of a sudden I'm like, how many people watch that story? And then, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm already at a point right now where I feel like sometimes I do get distracted by my phone.
No
and when
question.
I'm watching TV and movies, I'm constantly rewinding everything.
Oh, me too. I usually take it as a sign of like, this isn't holding my attention.
Exactly. That's
but
true.
Sometimes that's not the case. Sometimes it's like, we're fucking distracted. We have no attention span at all. It's terrible.
And I think at this movie, I was like, well, I saw this movie like 7 years
exactly,
ago.
Exactly. So yeah. I can pick up my phone and check some emails.
I still do some work on the slide.
But. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I think overall, this is like, it's a super fun watch for the most part. You'll enjoy it. You'll laugh. The cast is great, even like the more minor players. Sorry, I didn't list Josh Groban.
Groban. More movies for Josh Groban.
It's great when he doesn't propose. That's a nice little scene.
Oh, that's so funny. And you start to feel it right as it's happening. You start to see what he's doing. You're like, oh, this scumbag's offering her a job.
He's like,
he doesn't
even know. I don't know what I think about you. And she's like, wait, you don't get to not know
her friend, too, by the way. Super
I know her.
Funny.
It's a friend of mine, yeah. Lisa.
She's always funny. Yeah. And like, that's... That again though, like she feels like a character from a straight comedy,
right?
You need to be examining the curve of his dick, like shit like that. Yeah, and it's like, does that belong in this movie? What am I? This feels out of place. Yeah. It's just a little.
She's funny though. She's
super funny.
Yeah, my character's.
Let's play some games while we have a little bit of time left. Let's make a drinking game out of this movie. So every time something repetitive happens, you take a drink. Christina, you might be able to shine a light on this for me. I don't know if I'm just overcompensating, but for me, it's every time you feel like this might be kind of offensive to women.
Oh, hilarious.
This movie doesn't shine the best light on, like, I mean, Ryan Gosling is just taking them down one by one with, like, little maneuvering and basically like, you want to get out of here, and it's like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Well, I think, I don't know.
Wife on top of that is like, she's not the best.
I want to hear your thoughts, but I feel like he was overplaying his hand. I don't think he needed as much game as he was.
That's
you know,
true.
And the montages they were too long. I was like, I understand that he is having sex. I totally get it. I don't need to see him say, you want to get out of here to 27 women in a row.
Yeah. Do you think it paints women in a bad light?
I didn't have that reaction to it initially. But like, if I would break it down, there's certain things that...
If a guy talks to you like that in a bar.
Yeah.
And, well, granted, he might not look like Ryan Gosling. If he does look like Ryan Gosling or if he doesn't, like, is there any interest or is there like, this is a fucking douchebag?
I think when you're younger and you're 20.
Sure.
Oh,
yeah, that's a good point.
You're totally vulnerable
point.
To that guy. Yeah. You're like, you're for surely going home with them.
And a lot of them might have just been
now,
like,
you know, I'm 40.
That's
like,
a really, that's
oh, no,
a, that's a fair
I got
point.
It, bro. Like, yeah, now yeah, I'm, yeah. Now I can see through that kind of guy.
And also,
but not
maybe
that I'm opposed to one night stands. I just want to do it with somebody I actually connect with.
And maybe also, maybe I'm being a little unfair about like, he's not necessarily pulling one over on them. It's just like, yeah, I'd like to fuck this guy. Let's do this. Yeah, like, totally. They're just making a decision.
Yeah, totally. But,
right, which is why he doesn't need to do the dirty dancing thing. Like,
oh yeah,
they're with it from
that,
like,
is more
so
offensive to women than any part of the movie to me. He's like, I know it shouldn't work, but it works every fucking time. I'm like, oh,
no, but you
no,
know what?
It doesn't.
But it's like, dude, they decided to fuck you when they left the bar, right? Not, for the most part. So the extracurricular.
Also,
is
just, how many women is he handing an old fashioned to, and they're like, what? Dude, nah. This is like straight bourbon. How many young 20-year-old women are drinking straight bourbon? I have problems with him. You get it. Dwayne, go ahead.
And I guess I've alluded to this before in a way, but every time Emma Stone pouts, I feel like her pout game is strong in this movie and every other movie.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know if it's a pout. It's a facial expression. I don't know if I know what it is, so I'm calling it a pout. I'm just sort of putting it in a pout category.
Yeah.
But there's something with her lips and her eyes, and she just make these like kind of faces, and I'm like, she's winning.
I think she
definitely... So wait, are you saying every time Emma Stone pouts, you have to take a drink?
Yes, yes.
Okay, it's a pout drinking game. All right, right, yeah.
I feel like she definitely embodies that line of this movie of like being cute and sexy at the same time.
Right, right.
There is
right.
that type of like...
She gets it from her mom.
Yeah, I guess.
Perfect balance of cute and sexy.
Yeah, except for... fucking your coworker. I have beef. Christina, what's your drinking game?
So I came up with two. Okay. One was but one I feel like we would die if we did it. Like if we take
like
a drink
that.
Every time Ryan Gosling says, "Let's get out of here."
Yeah.
But we'd be dead. But then another one. All right, this is another weird thing I like to look for. Maybe sometimes. So like we take a drink every time you see there's some sort of a reference or you see something that doesn't exist anymore. Does that make sense?
Oh, sure,
when you're watching
sure.
Yeah,
like the old cell phones so, like, or something.
So you see like the old cell phone, you gotta take a drink. You saw, there was a Borders bookstore that's gone.
Ooh,
what else was there? An El Torito, where did those go? And then even when they're driving the Volvo, I was like, is Volvo still a car? Like, I don't know anybody who drives Volvos anymore. So like whenever you're watching an old movie and you see something that might have accidentally gone extinct, you have to take a drink.
I like that. Let's come up with a new Oscars category for this movie. So a category that if it were nominated in, it would definitely take home the trophy. What do you think, Dwayne?
Well, I feel like this movie doesn't go into great detail. I could be wrong. Maybe I missed it in terms of what Steve Carell's character's work is, his profession. I don't think we...
Is insurance adjuster or some shit?
We're at his job very little.
They fell on some cliche jobs like
right.
Kevin Bacon being the accountant who...
Right,
like,
right.
No accountant likes going to work.
I wanted to be a baseball
player.
It's
a little easy. Yeah. It's a little easy.
But I would say best makeover, the Oscar category, best makeover of a guy stuck in middle management.
Yeah.
Because I do think he had his sneakers were awful.
Dude.
And they deserve to be thrown away.
Yeah. They deserve to be thrown... In an outdoor mall, just thrown into right. You kind of hear people yell, which I think is super funny in that moment. And also, yeah, I mean, they do a great job of making Ooh. Steve Carell look like a schlubby dad. Like those fucking pants, they're just way too big. And his suit's like all slight variations of brown. Like that's a hell of a transformation. It really does make a world of difference. When he shows up in the new clothes, you're like, it can't be that different. You're like, yeah, no, he looks a lot better. He looks taller somehow. I don't get it.
Right.
Which one do I want to go with here? All right, let's do achievement in ambiguous lessons, because I don't quite know what the lesson is in this movie. Him trying to desperately win back his wife who cheated, I've touched on, obviously. Also, the weird moment at the end where it's like, hey, if you perv on older girls long enough, they'll give you nudes.
Oh my God, that's another thing. I feel like if that movie was made today, I feel like that would have been pulled.
That's bizarre.
Right?
That
She's
is
like,
bizarre.
Oh, you know what? Here you go. Here's some naked photos of me, little 13-year-old.
And
guy.
I kept
Spank
thinking
Bank is mental, guys.
I kept thinking he was going to pull out one of the pictures and it was just going to be like a normal sweet picture of her smiling and like, here's a picture of me. She knows he's
we know
beaten off to her already. Yeah. She knows.
Yeah.
But like, she gives him the fucking nudes, and I'm like, I mean, listen, from his perspective, that's a huge win.
I mean, but I swear to God, this is not
happening. This is not happening in the real world. This is a 17-year-old girl who's just a babysitter.
I know.
This is like bordering on pedophilia.
It is.
In a year, she's going to be at college, and he's going to be like a freshman in high school or whatever. Yeah, that was fucking bizarre.
I had the same reaction. I swear to God, in my dorky office notepad here that I brought, it's on here.
What's Christina, what's your Oscars category?
Don't really have one. That one I'm a little tricky with, but I would say if there was an Oscar category for most random person put in a movie, Josh Groban would win.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right.
What a leap. Like, at the time.
I know, right?
2011. It was like, we knew he was a singer, but somebody was just like, hey, Josh Groban could probably play this guy.
That was one where I had to play with my phone a little bit. I was like, is that Josh Groban? And then I went on IMDb on my phone and I looked it up. But
I can't remember.
If there was a most random celebrity put in a movie category.
He popped up in something else.
He's nominated,
one time,
at least.
That was like very unexpected, and I was like, man,
like,
he's funny. He kind of just works as that like bland dude. What else was he in? I can't see it here. All right, we'll figure it out. Let's pitch the sequel to this movie. Dwayne, what do you think, man?
Well, I'm kind of like, and I hope I don't step on toes here, I feel like while we were talking, I thought of a new one.
Okay.
So I think what would be great is, but so I, in the sequel, we're down the road a little bit. Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone, they've broken up, okay?
Okay.
And, you know, maybe they just grew apart. So Gosling hits back on the scene, the one bar that he goes to. And
the scene, yeah.
He gets back to trying to run his game.
Yeah.
And but all the chicks, everyone's older now.
Right.
And the game just doesn't work. And he, you know, like, it's just not working, right?
Right?
So either he doesn't hook up, or he has to hook up with girls not as hot, or whatever the case is. And then he ends up getting
back.
Why
do I like that? I like that. You nailed it there, where he has to hook up with girls that aren't as hot. That is my favorite sequel.
But they don't fall
for
his tricks.
Get in line for the B team, Ryan.
A full movie of Ryan Gosling settling.
I'm fully on board.
Whatever.
I'm fully on board for the sequel.
Yeah. And he gets back with Emma Stone, because he realizes that what the game he was running had, you know, it had an expiration date. And maybe, or he gets with one of these B-teamers and it works
B-teamers.
Out.
B-teamers. Oh, man. Let's see. Mine is, all right, so Cal and Emily are back together. At the end of this movie,
right.
I guess they decide to get back together.
They're gonna give it a shot.
They're together for a year before he gets schlubby again and stops taking her mini golfing, because that's inevitable. And it's called growing as people. Like, you're gonna get older and whatever. And then she bones Kevin Bacon again, and we start this mess all over again. Ryan Gosling has since also become a content boyfriend, got kind of fat. Emma Stone dumps him, and now Steve Carell teaches him how to get back in the game.
Very nice, very nice.
What do you think, Christina?
Well, I mean, I feel like when you gave me this question, it actually made me want sequels to all the rom-coms. I want everybody's relationships to come back. I want to see every single one of my favorite rom-coms and like find out where John Cusack and Kate Beckinsale are now. Do you know what I mean? I want like all
that,
my...
Is that Serendipity?
Better believe it. Yeah.
Oh, my favorite. Shit.
Wow.
Yeah, you saw that.
That
I almost said
impressive.
Must Love Dogs, but I believe that was a Diane Lane joint.
That was
joint.
Diane Lane.
I haven't seen any of these movies, by the way. I don't know why I remember that.
Oh, man. Oh, we could have talked about Serendipity for hours. But yeah, so when you said that, I'm like, I want all of these rom-coms to have sequels, and we see if these people are still together. But I for this movie, I see the sequel being the relationship between Jessica and Robbie. I want to see maybe they do hook up when they get older. Do you know what I mean? Like, as creepy as it was, but I feel like that question, once that scene that we just talked about where she gave him the nudes, then I was like, no, I'm creeped out. No, I don't want them to get together.
Yeah,
I was like that. No.
I mean, the kid's not wrong. Throughout the movie, he keeps making the very valid point that as soon as we're slightly older, this age difference is nothing. Right. This is 4 years. It's nothing.
How he does say, like, Demi and Ashton,
yes,
15 years
that's
apart,
really
but
funny.
Also another couple that's not together anymore.
Yes,
right. So,
yeah, it's a good point.
But that's another thing that doesn't hold up anymore.
It is such a like a particular time in your life where like that is a you are worlds apart at 17 and 13.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But at 25 and 29, you're basically the same person.
Yes,
like, that's a great idea of like, and I felt the same way where I kept thinking like, yeah, you know, he's not wrong, and they might be right for each other, and you lose it when she gives him the news. You're like, nope, this is weird. Because it got creepy.
His wife's creepy.
His but like, you creepy. Know what? There's equality. Finally, women are being creepier in movies.
Right.
It's our turn to creep you out.
We're sending the news.
Because what if they hook up, right? Like, in your scenario, I like that idea. So they hook up, they have children. And you know how the daughter tends to favor the mom, the boys tend to favor the dad. Not exactly, but say in this instance, that's what happens. Like the daughter's a spitting image of the mom.
Yeah.
At some point, he's kept this nude. Someone's digging through the drawer. They see this nude. They're like, dude, do you have a nude of your daughter? And he's like, no, that's her mom.
That's her mom who
looks exactly
who
like
took, who took these for my dad, by the way. That's a whole other intricacy. That's like, does he have to spend his whole life wondering if she still wants to fuck his dad? Like, that's a weird wrinkle to their relationship.
Oh, that's funny. His dad is like really old, 90, and she's like, I'll change him. That was a little quick.
All she ever loved about him was that he was a good dad. She clearly wasn't in it for the like the looks. He wasn't taking care of himself. Let's close it out. What's your favorite scene from this movie and why? And that's a great question for this because I do think it has some just moments of fucking brilliance. My favorite one, and I mentioned John Carroll Lynch, who plays Bernie, is just super funny to me. And I think it's such a genuine and sad but really funny scene when he has to break up with Steve Carell at the bar. He shows up and Steve Carell thinks like, we're going to commiserate over my divorce. I finally have a buddy here to talk to. And he chugs his wine Zinfandel and gives him cologne. He's like, I can't talk to you anymore. And it's like, that's such a real part of divorce too. Like, such a sad thing is that you become friends with other couples. And then inevitably how the wife gets chosen when she's the cheater. Again, I don't understand how she gets the friends in the breakup, but you know, that's,
oh my God. And that's another thing about pushing value systems, because not only does she get chosen, but then later on when they find out he's out there crushing puss.
He's philandering.
And he's like, I'm glad we picked her.
Yeah, yeah.
Again.
He's a monster. He's single and fucking.
He's living in like fucking, he's living upstairs from Mr. Miyagi. Some fucking.
This guy's in like an extended stay America. This is fucking sad. Let him have sex. Dwayne, what do you think, man? What's your favorite scene?
You know, it's cliche. I would change one thing about the scene, but I do like when Emma and Ryan don't hook up, because I like how she keeps saying she wants to have sex, but then keeps distracting the situation and going to other places.
So nervous. And not that person.
And that's a real thing that can happen sometimes. And his patience about it. I mean, he's never portrayed as someone who's aggressive. So, but he's still super patient. You never get a sense that, that girl I was talking to, I could have brought her home. It would have been fine.
Yeah.
He's actually like pretty cool with it. And he's like, oh, this is a novel idea. I could bring him home and not fuck him.
Well, interesting. There's that sense that like he's realizing that like maybe I don't need to do this tonight either. Like maybe this is the type of person.
Yeah.
That like,
but it's crazy.
Like he doesn't push. He doesn't get pushy. He doesn't like, all right, are we gonna bone down or what? He likes that she's so quirky and nervous.
He slept with hundreds of women. Like if we just,
I mean, maybe thousands. Right? I don't even understand how long he's been doing this.
And it's never got tiring. Like this is just every night you do this. And this could have been funnier when he says, "I'm a really depressed, sad person.
Yeah, I'm really unhappy."
Yeah.
Because he's so good looking that you don't even believe it when he says it. You know what I mean? You're like,
he kind of laughs when he says it too, which I like. He's like, I am so unhappy. Yeah. And like with like a big smile on his face.
I really like that scene. I would have had her cover him though. You know, I would have had him fall asleep first.
Didn't she do that?
Or did he cover her? I thought he covered
her. No, she does it. She covers him and kisses
perfectly.
Him.
They did it
perfectly. They nailed it, Dwayne. Okay.
Good job, guys.
They nailed it.
Christina, close it out for us. What's your favorite scene and why?
I feel like very close to you. But it's the back to back of Emma Stone coming in like all wet into the bar, and then she goes to like, okay, I'm ready for you, Ryan Gosling. But it's not just that scene; it's that it's back to back with the scene of her being super awkward when she actually gets to his house. Because I've had that so many times where mm-hmm. I finally get this confidence on, where I'm like, okay, I'm finally ready to sleep with this guy. I'm so excited. I'm going for it. Yeah, I'm cool. I'm confident. And then you get to his house and you're shitting your pants. So like, I appreciated that jump from the confidence to the awkward.
Right.
I liked that.
It's very genuine.
Yeah, it feels really real and I can relate to that. But then, of course, then we get the dirty dancing scene, which then just is like, I don't know. Then I was like,
here's
would I fall for that?
Yes, and then that is the golden question here. Would it work on you?
I hate to say it, but yes.
I love it.
I grew up in the 80s.
I know. I mean,
the lift, dirty dancing, there are so many different scenes. Like now, you know, if you want to make darker jokes.
Dirty dancing is a little suspect on a lot of levels.
I know. I think there's different words for Penny got in trouble today. But you know what, back at, you know, when you're 10 years old, all I could see is that lift. Do you know what I mean?
He does acknowledge the corniness of it. He's like, I know, but it does work.
I have a bad feeling it would. Yeah. Right. And then I felt a little shame with that scene. I was
that's
like,
interesting, because
oh, no.
That goes back to like what you said earlier about every time you think it paints women in a bad light. Because what is good about that, you saying that, Christina, is that, oh, so maybe he does need this secondary game once he gets home. Because I thought, okay, dude, you're trying too hard. But he's already considered they're going to get a little nervous once they get here.
Yeah.
I have a second wave of making them feel okay about this.
Yeah.
And a little more sociopathic.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah.
Like, have a strategy if they're not super into it when they get here.
Right. And it makes a sense. And it also kind of like, you know, in real life when really issues come up, and regarding consent, you know, always there's someone who says, well, you went to that place at 2 a.m, you knew what was going to happen. And I think yes and no, because like you said, there's a surge of confidence and then you doubt it. And then
and sober up a little on the ride home.
Yeah, that's going to happen.
In the Uber or whatever.
Yeah. And because the other thing is, okay, like, would it work on you? Okay, maybe it would work, maybe not, right? But the Marissa Tomei line, which is really funny, but Steve Carell is like, he's unraveling. He's literally unraveling at the bar. And he's like, I'm sweating, my wife. Blah.
The sweating thing was so funny.
It's hilarious. Yeah,
but then it gets like, work, I feel.
But he says like, you know, you're a perfect combination of cute and sexy, which I said to my wife before. He's unraveling. He says a good 3 minutes or 2 minutes maybe of stuff after that. And she says, you think I'm the perfect mix of sexy and
he didn't
cute.
Even say she was. He said, I'm supposed to say
right.
You're the perfect mix.
Yeah, you're right,
and that she was maybe the most offensive to women. And like, she's usually so great, but it was weirdly over the top and like overdone. That was a weird moment, because he acknowledges like, yeah, that's what you took from that. And she like screams and jumps on him. And I'm like, oh, this lady's got some real issues.
I know.
And he's being nothing but honest.
I felt bad for her.
He's like, help me make my ex jealous.
Yeah, yeah.
And she just jumps on him. And that's why he didn't have to play it so awkward. He could have been like,
but then that also felt like that's why her being so mad at him at the school didn't make sense.
Because
it was
true.
Like, he told you everything.
I didn't buy that scene at all.
But now she like suddenly decides that he's saying that him and his wife are still married, and that's not what he's saying. I don't know. There was like some weird inconsistencies there.
Yeah.
I don't know why we leapt back in to just shit on Marissa Tomei. Listen, if you're listening, we love you. You're great.
We absolutely love
you.
We do. We definitely
amazing.
Love you.
This is not your fault.
Right, exactly.
And I feel bad if I said anything bad about Wine Country. It was lovely. It was really cute.
I would like to work with all of these ladies sometime in the future.
This is why I can't blog anymore, because I'm too scared I'll say something wrong. It's in print.
Well, don't worry. We won't. We won't let anything incriminating get out that you said.
Thank you.
We can edit out the Wine Country stuff. We won't let Amy Poehler stomp your career into dust.
Oh my God. I love her so much.
Oh, she's the best. That's such a great cast. I do want to check that movie out too. We should have you back.
And let's then let me know what you think of that movie.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, cool.
I'm gonna love it.
I'll tell you right now. This is not a spoiler, but I love the Fran Drescher stuff.
Oh, Fran Drescher.
Oh,
you'll know when you watch. That was the most hilarious scariest part of the movie.
Okay.
Sorry, not to change the subject.
No, not at all.
Subject being movie.
Christina, thank you so much
for
being here.
Thank you for having me on.
Of course.
It was really fun.
Tell everybody where to find you online, all that sort of stuff.
I have my website is ChristinaWalkinshaw.com, and I always put my my show dates on there. And then on Instagram, at WalkinSauce, Twitter, at WalkinSauce, Facebook, Christina Walkinshaw, but mostly WalkinSauce, you can find me.
Nice.
Tumblr, if you want to go read my expired blog.
And I think that would trip me, that's what tripped me up, that is the walking sauce.
Yeah, that is kind of what you said.
You know what? Fair.
I think that's all these years thought your name was walking sauce.
No. Actually,
you know what? Fair enough.
He's like, what is that, Italian?
I earned that right.
Yeah, me, DwaynePerkins.com, Dwayne Perkins on the gram, FunnyDP on Twitter, but I'm not really in love with Twitter at this point. I think it's bunch of people screaming, but
Twitter's a little dark.
hit me over there and come to a show. Those are listed on my website. Yes.
Check them out, guys. I'm at TK Kelly Comedy on all social media. This week is the second week of a little tour I'm doing around the Midwest and then a little bit of East Coast. So come check me out if you are around. Let's see, this week is Chicago, DC, Lexington, Charleston, possibly Atlanta. So check for those dates if you're in those areas. And also follow us at Movie Nightcast on all social media. Keep listening. Keep talking to us. We love hearing from you guys. Please keep adding to the list of movies you want to hear us talk about. This is episode 261. We have done a lot of movies, but there are a fuckload more.
Absolutely.
We're not catching up anytime soon. So keep giving us your ideas. We love hearing them. And Christina, thank you so much again for being here. Tune in next week, guys.
You've been listening to Movie Night with Dwayne Perkins and TK Kelly. Be sure to like them on Facebook. Just search for Movie Night Podcast Show. And follow them on Twitter. Just search for @MovieNightCast.